today as we come to the table.
Paul tells us in the New Testament that the Sabbath was a picture of Jesus as well. Not only was manna a picture of Jesus, the Sabbath was a foreshadowing of Jesus. Why? Paul says the Sabbath is our spiritual rest. In other words, rather than trying to follow the law and earn our way into heaven, we trust in what Jesus has done on the cross. Because of what he's done on the cross, then we're clean, we're forgiven, we're saved, we get to go to heaven. So it's a picture here of Jesus being our Sabbath rest in the Spirit and not trying to please God by what we do, but to rest in the Lord and what he's done and let God be the one that is pleased through the cross.
The idea of Sabbath isn't one that's easily accepted in today's culture. Society says, work, 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 achieve, don't stop. And so rest tends to take a back seat. But that's not how God designed us to function. And as you've likely observed, it's not working well in your own life. So why not rest? Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Pastor Mark will talk today about the reasons God set up a Sabbath in the first place, and it comes back to a need for us to rely on Him. Not only does He provide the sustenance we need to do the work, He also provides the perfect rest we so desperately need. So take time to rest in Him. Let God be your Sabbath. Well, let's join Pastor Mark in Exodus chapter 16 as he continues his message, Principles of Manna.
I'm teaching the flock about making sure you're up to get that manna. And I'm sitting here watching it all melt. I'm watching every bit of it melt in front of my very eyes. I'm starting to read the chapter and, Dad, I've got to have this. Oh. Read more manna. Mark, I'm going to ask you a question. Read more manna. Ring, ring, it's for you, Dad. It was like, okay. And finally, what I did today was, and I do this from time to time, and I got a little bit of manna and a little bit of prayer, but most of it melted away because I was so tired the night I was up till late, you know, and I make excuses for myself. But the bottom line is, I knew I needed to get some sleep or I would be totally wiped out. And I'm not saying that God's grace is there, isn't it? God's grace is there. But the principle, he allowed that to happen today to really drive the principle home to me. And that is, Mark, if you don't get it in the morning, you may not get it. And I'm like, yes, Lord, I hear you. Got it. But I'm not a morning person. Become one. I am not a morning person. Guess what gets Mark up every morning? The alarm, very annoyingly, and a lot of struggle. I struggle. I mean, it's a battle. I'm like, oh, one leg goes, oh, you know. Some of you guys just pop up, you know, like, hey, you know. I hate all of you with a passion. And then I set the alarm, you know, and I heard somebody said there's an alarm clock now. Maybe you heard about it. It's round. And when it goes off, it just jumps off the table, starts rolling around the room. Has anybody heard of that thing? And it's making, and you got to chase it, you know. And I said, that's about what I need to get up. That's about what I need to get up. And I've had times where even though it's loud, I'll turn it off and don't even remember turning it off. And I wake up and my manna has been melted. You ever had that happen? So all I'm saying is, if you really want to be a disciple and you're not a morning person like your pastor, you have to make a decision. I'm going to do this and I'm going to make myself do it even though I don't like it. My flesh is going to kick, scream, and bite. I'm doing it anyway. Because it depends on, and this is not some kind of soldier for the Lord time. It's just a matter of, do you want to be a disciple? I do. And I realize that if I'm going to be one, I've got to make some sacrifices. I don't like it any more than you do. I also know I'm not earning anything. I also know the Lord loves me even if I don't. If I sleep it all day, he loves me and I'm going to heaven. Isn't that great news? But at the same time, I realize that the manna's going to melt. The sun's going to get hot. The day's going to get started. The phone's going to start ringing. The people are going to start talking. All this stuff's going to happen. And it's all good and important stuff. Oh, I never even told you what I did. Today, I get back to my store. I just finally grabbed my computer and left the house. And nothing against my family or anybody else. The point is I realized that when the storm has begun, if I'm going to have anything for you guys and be able to finish up, I have to go somewhere where nobody can find me. You know, it's funny, Jesus, you look in the scriptures, and Jesus would get up early and sneak off somewhere. And everybody was looking for him. Where is he? I don't know. And finally, his disciples find him. You remember the story in the Gospels? They finally find him. Lord, where were you? And they're almost kind of fussing at him. Everybody's looking for you. Where have you been? He's like, all right, come on, let's go to the next village. You need an answer. He's kind of went into, why? Because he knew, if I stay here with these 12 guys, they're going to keep me up forever. They're going to get me up early. I can't study. I've got to go hide somewhere. They'll find me. They'll find me. And they did find him. You know, sometimes I'll go somewhere and just, you know, turn the phone off, do whatever. And then by the time I'll come back, I've got like 15 calls on my phone I've missed. And all these people looking, they're like, where have you been? And we're trying to find you. I'm like, you know what? Same thing happened to the Lord. As long as I'm doing it, I'll catch up. But I've got to keep the priority in place or I'm going to sink. Opportunity, don't let it melt away. It's got to be in the morning. I believe that. You can get it other times, but I think if you don't get it in the morning, it's going to melt. And look at verse 22. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow's the Sabbath rest. So this is why they gathered 2 days' worth. They weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath. A holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today and boil what you will boil. Lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. And so they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Now that's good. But very interesting, on that special time, they could keep it overnight. So it shows you a supernatural intervention of God again, doesn't it? Because all the other days, it would breed worms and stink. But on that one day, he would preserve it so it would last too. And they were allowed that one day a week to get the extra manna, wouldn't stink, wouldn't go away because of the Sabbath. They could rest on the Sabbath. And again, this does not mean that reading the Word, God's Word, is work, and there's a day we don't need it. That's not the principle here. But you'll notice they still had an ate manna on the seventh day. It's just they didn't have to gather the manna on the seventh day. It was fed to them. I find that interesting because of the way that God set up his church. You know, even if you can't have time to get in the manna Sunday morning because you got to get the kids ready and got to get them whatever, we all come together and eat manna here, don't we? We break the bread of God's word and we have manna. So you have enough manna to last into that next day. Again, I'm not saying that means you can't read and you shouldn't read the word on Sunday because your pastor's going to do it. I just think the whole picture here is really cool. Because even on the day that God gives us to rest, God says, I'm still going to feed you. I'm going to have the pastors feed you. You'll get your manna that seventh day, if you will, whether you do it or whether, however, I'm going to make sure that you get fed as long as the pastor is being faithful to teach the word of God. And so you see the whole picture here. And Moses said, you know, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord, and today you will not find it in the field. So I love this. You go out and look for it on that day. God didn't even allow the manna on the ground on the Sabbath. It didn't even come down from heaven. Again, this shows the supernatural nature of the manna. He says, you have to eat what's there, saved from the other day. 6 days you shall gather it. But on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Again, this doesn't mean that if we seek God's word on the Sabbath or Sunday, we're not going to find it. We don't want to take the example too far or the picture too far. It simply means the children of Israel were not to gather physical manna on the Sabbath because it would break the Sabbath law and God wanted them to rest. So there's a physical meaning here and picture to this. And it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. Notice they did it anyway. God said, don't do it. Some of them went out. They didn't believe what God said. They chose not to obey. But they found that even though they chose not to obey and they didn't believe God's word, that what God said was true. Isn't that neat? Because you see, the same thing is true today. Even people that don't believe God's word and they don't obey God's word, that doesn't change the truthfulness of it any, does it? God's word is still just as truthful, whether people believe it or not. Well, I don't believe the Bible. That didn't change the truth of it. I don't believe Jesus was the Messiah. That didn't change the fact that he was. You're just missing out. The truth is the truth. Many people are like that today. They don't believe God's word. They choose not to obey it. But when they go their own way, you know, and test it, they always find it to be true. They just did it anyway. And the Lord said to Moses, look at this. He says, how long do you refuse to keep my commands and my laws? You know, God would always go to Moses and say, they're disobeying, Moses. You know, they're not obeying here. He says, see, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. So rest. He's given you time to rest. Take it. Therefore, he gives on you the sixth day bread, that is manna, for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place and let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. And so God says, how long will you continue to disobey? You know, you've got to take your seventh day rest of Sabbath. And why is the seventh day Sabbath so important to God? There's a physical reason and there's a spiritual reason, the Bible tells us. Number one, the physical reason that the Sabbath was so important to God is because we need rest. You know, our bodies can't run full steam every day. We're going to eventually collapse. And I think some of us shorten our lives because we do that. The body just eventually wears down and it won't work anymore. It just quits running. And I've seen people that have just gone so hard for so many years and finally something happens to them where they're down for 3 months. You know, it's almost like God says, all right, I'm gonna make you rest. You wouldn't, so there's the bed. So that's one reason that it's very important to God is so we take physical rest. But the other reason it's so important is Paul tells us in the New Testament that the Sabbath was a picture of Jesus as well. Not only was manna a picture of Jesus, the Sabbath was a foreshadowing of Jesus. Why? Paul says the Sabbath is our spiritual rest. In other words, rather than trying to follow the law and earn our way into heaven, we trust in what Jesus has done on the cross. Because of what he's done on the cross, then we're clean, we're forgiven, we're saved, we get to go to heaven. So it's a picture here of Jesus being our Sabbath rest in the Spirit and not trying to please God by what we do, but to rest in the Lord and what he's done and let God be the one that is pleased through the cross. So following the picture that God was giving in the Sabbath, if they worked on the Sabbath, not only would they be physically worn down, which again, God, we talked about the physical side of it, it would be the same as if you could somehow please God by works rather than simply trusting in what Jesus did on the cross. So there was a personal stake in the fulfilling of the picture to the Lord, the fulfilling of the type, and Jesus being that fulfillment on the cross. By the way, which is really why it's sad to see people today try to live by the law. Whether it be the Jews or whether it be the Seventh-day Adventists or whatever it be, they're basically ruining the whole picture that God gave of the Sabbath in Scripture and Jesus being the fulfillment of the Sabbath. You know, when you read the New Testament, the only commandment that's never re-given out of all 10, out of the 10 commandments, the only one that's never given again in the New Testament is which one? Obeying the Sabbath. It's not in there. All the other 9 are. That was not. Why? Because Paul tells us that one has been scratched off the list. It's completed, you see, if you've received Jesus. If you've received Jesus, he is your Sabbath, and it's completed. So the Sabbath is nothing that has to be followed in that sense. However, it doesn't take away the physical side of it, which is we need to take a day to rest. It may be Sunday. It may not be Sunday. Sunday for me, you know, it's my busiest day. So it's a different day for me. Even then, it's not the rest it should be. But the bottom line is there is some rest there. And it needs to be that way. We need a day to rest so the physical part still remains of it. And notice, so the people rested on the seventh day. So they got their rebuke and they obeyed. And the house of Israel called its name manna. There it is. What is it? And it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Now, we'll get a further description of the manna, but more importantly, we're going to see a further picture of the Lord. Notice the description here is like the Lord. First, it was white. White in Scripture is the color of purity. So we see the purity of the Lord in the manna being revealed there. Secondly, it was like coriander seed. Now, I learned something about coriander seed I don't remember reading before. I've looked that up before because I'm curious why coriander seed and what does that have to do with manna and a picture of the Lord there. But I found out that coriander seed actually has medicinal qualities. It's used as medicine. I didn't know that. So what another beautiful picture of the Lord, our healer. His purity in the white, the Lord is our healer. He still offers healing today through his power. So we see the connection there through his healing and the coriander seed. And next, I love this. It tasted like honey, even as the Lord is sweet as honey. You know that song we sing, you know, your name is like honey on my lips. You know, the Lord is sweet like honey. It's interesting to me. This is something just on a personal level I'll share with you guys and just kind of neat this, you know, God did for me and really didn't hit me till later years. But I grew up hating honey. I mean, literally, the smell of it could almost make me gag. And if I, any taste of it, it literally, there's certain things, you know, that can trigger that gag reaction. Honey was one of them. And I don't know why. As soon as I gave my life to the Lord, I loved honey. Isn't that bizarre? It was instantaneous. I gave my life to the Lord, and I remember immediately after that, the first time I ran into honey, it smelled great. I decided to try it, and I've loved it ever since. It was just something supernatural God did, and it was almost like God saying, you know what? I'm showing you a spiritual truth of what I've done physically in your life. I did something supernatural for you, Mark, not just so you could eat honey. There's lots of other yummy things you could eat, but I'm as sweet as honey. And I want you to be able to enjoy me. I want you to see that whole picture of what it's like. And before I came to the Lord, I won't say he didn't gag me and didn't repulse me. I didn't hate the Lord on a knowing level, but I certainly wasn't pleased. I didn't try to please him. I didn't like his guidelines. I didn't want to follow him. And then after I gave my life to him, it's the sweetest honey. There's nothing sweeter than following the Lord. And so it's kind of neat that I can eat honey now. And man, especially good on sopapillas, which Again, out west, if you have a sopapilla from out west, if you have them here and you're a sopapilla, they're not the same. How can I describe a sopapilla out west? It's like fry bread, except in one big round thing like this that's hollow in the middle. And you tear it open and you squeeze honey in it. Oh. Man, you can just eat them like candy. I mean, it's good. That's how the Lord is, isn't he? Heavenly fry bread, manna. Think about it. Manna with that. I wish I had a bunch of sopapillas to give you guys right now. Because what a great illustration. See, I'm enjoying this. And I just give every one of you guys a hot sopapilla and a little thing of honey and just say, oh, this is like Jesus. Enjoy, you know. I love it. House of Israel, notice they like wafers made with honey. Moses said, verse 32, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer, that is 2 quarts, with it, to be kept for your generations. Notice that they may see, and I've got that underlined, that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer of manna in it and lay it before the Lord to be kept for your generations as the Lord commanded Moses. So Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. Now, this is neat to me. But as notice here, it's interesting. The Lord wanted their generations to see the manna that God had fed them with. And I think there's another principle here about manna. And that is God wants us to do the same thing with our generation. And what is that? Our kids and those around us should see our honor of his word. They should see us eating the manna. You know, have your kids ever seen you sitting around eating manna? They should. Now, not as a show. And, I don't think we should go out and try to make it obvious, you know, like we're reading our Bible, you know, and, you know, wherever it might be. You know, I notice you're not reading yours, you know. It's not a pride thing or whatever. But you know what? When people see you with your Bible, and people see you reading your Bible and they see the honor you have for the Bible, you're showing the next generation, they're seeing the manna. It's laid before them. They go, why are you doing that, man? Because this is good. You need to try this. And it passes on to the next generation, that desire for manna and their heart and desire to have manna and their heart and desire for the Word of God. And I think our kids need to see this, because if our kids see us spending time in the Word, then they're going to want to desire to share in God's Word as well and pass it on. I love the way that the Jewish women would train their kids to nurse. You know, some kids are kind of hard to latch on, you know, they don't latch on and nurse as well. And there's different techniques they use today for that. But the Hebrew women back in that day, they would take a little bit of the milk and they would just rub it in the child's mouth, a little bit on the roof of the mouth. They would just keep letting them taste it. To a child, there's a sweet flavor to that, to the mother's, you know, nursing. And so the child tastes that and they desire it. And they say, if they do that a few times, the child's, there's a hunger now to nurse with their mother or whatever. Think about the Word of God, the pure milk of God's Word. What we're to do as parents is take a little bit of that and rub it in the roof of their mouth. You know, we're reading the Bible. They see us read it. They see the manna there. It's in our lap. You know, the bread's broken open. And then we share something with them. Wow, you know, honey, hey, isn't this, you know that? Listen to that. That's pretty cool. Oh, that is kind of neat. Thanks, Dad. They walk on. What you just did, you rubbed a little bit in the roof of their mouth. And they get this little taste. You know, that's kind of neat. Dad's sharing some things that are kind of sweet. I like that. And I've had those moments where I've seen that connection, where I'll share something with one of them and it's kind of like, it connects. And then it gives them a desire to go and open the manna up themselves and go, you know what? I see Dad doing this, and that did taste pretty sweet. I'm going to try that. I'm going to read through the Bible, or I'm going to read this chapter, or this book. I'm going to do whatever. And now your kids are feeding on the Word of God. See, that's the principle of laying it out in front of them. Let them see it. You know, not flaunt it, not try to look spiritual. You know, they're going to see your flaws. They know them better than anybody. But just be real. Let them see you feeding on the Word of God. And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan, and an omer is 1/10 of an ephah. So again, when they came to the land, we're going to see it stopped supernaturally. When we watch Joshua go in, it says it stopped the next day. So again, anybody that tries to say it's not a supernatural event, it's very supernatural. And God did it until he got them to the promised land. And then they were able to, from that point, of course, grow their own crops and do all that. So it completed the spiritual picture God was giving for it. And now it was a time to move on. So, you know, as we see the principles of manna tonight, let me challenge you guys with a couple of things. One is, are you eating manna each and every day? Are you eating and feasting on God's word? Or are you just, you know, occasionally snacking? If you're just occasionally snacking, rest assured you're going to have a lot of stinky days and sometimes act like a worm. It's just the reality of it. It's going to breed worms and stink. And you're going to be the model example of it. And so am I. Because only manna every day will keep us on track. Only manna every day will keep us growing, keep us filled with Him, keep us walking in the Spirit. Yesterday's manna is not sufficient. It doesn't do it. Don't keep any of it till morning. Don't think you can store it overnight. You got to start the next morning. Secondly, are you gathering your manna in the morning? The next principle, rest assured, when the sun gets hot, guys, as I said, your opportunity for the most part will usually melt away and you're going to find yourself getting spiritually skinny, even starving to death. And I find for me that if I lag on the Word of God, I start to lose the desire for it. You ever experienced that? It's like suddenly I'm not as hungry for it when I don't eat it. But when I get back into it now, okay, now that hunger is created again. So there's a double-edged sword there. Be careful of that. Next, are you enjoying the purity of the Lord, the healing power of the Lord, and the sweetness of the Lord? Remember the description it gave of Him. If you're in the Word and you're enjoying the manna, you're going to have those things. You'll see His purity. You know, you're going to have that happening, the healing power of the Lord in your life, whether it's physical or emotional or whatever state it might be, spiritual. And then the sweetness of the Lord. There's nothing like it. And lastly, just reiterating and kind of putting the principles out there again to make sure we drive them home tonight, are you holding up the manna for the next generation to see? You know, I'm concerned. Just, you know, we talk about our kids and those that we're reading the Word of God around and in front of, you know, and all this. But I'm concerned about the generation, this church generation. Because it seems like the closer we get to the last days, the church is getting more away from the teaching of the Word and getting more into other things. And I think the closer we get to the Lord's return, we should be doing more of the Word, teaching more of the Bible, doing it, you know, even more. As another concern I have, I notice as we get closer in the last days, churches seem to be having less and less services. You know, God didn't tell how many services you need to have. You know, it'd be very easy for me to get up here and say, we're doing the amount that God approves and everyone else, you know, whatever. No, I don't. God didn't. The Bible didn't tell us. All I know is this. The closer we get to the end, the more we ought to be together and the more we ought to be in the Word of God. It's just a principle. So to see us get less together and to back off more, I don't get it. It doesn't make anybody, you know, any less of a Christian. It doesn't take away your salvation. I just see it and just kind of, I look at it and I kind of wonder, saying, what's happening? Why is the church backing off on services per week? And why is the church getting more and more away from the teaching of the Word of God? I think we need to be more in the Word of God. And if anything, adding another service. That doesn't mean you have to come to all of them. You know, one of the things that's been my vision for a long time is that we would have a service every night at Calvary Chapel, 7 nights a week. Now, some of you go, oh, man, that's exhausting. And the staff would probably go, well, wait a minute. Let's all have a big meeting, right? I'm not talking about everybody being here every night. I'm saying something being offered for everybody every night. You might only come once, twice a week. But if you ever wanted something, it would be being offered. You know, just a study for a Spanish study. You know, a whatever, a Korean study, a men's study, a women's study, a regular Bible study, a whatever study. You know, everybody doesn't have to be there, and you're not a bad Christian if you don't. It's just basically this huge smorgasbord that's always open and available. See, that's what I like about the radio. Because with the radio, it's just like a snowstorm of manna, 24/7. Right now, it's snowing manna on Knoxville through 101.1. It's snowing manna. Not everybody's going to be listening, and not everybody's going to be feeding, some here and there, some whatever. But the point is, if anybody wants to, all they do is go, and there's a meal there. Isn't that neat? And see, that's the whole principle behind it, just making sure that the body of Christ is fed and eating the manna. Jesus, if you love me, feed my sheep. We love Him, don't we? So let's be feeding His flock, loving each other. Praise the Lord.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. Maybe you've heard these things mentioned in the book of Exodus before, or perhaps you're hearing it for the first time. Exodus is one of those books where it's undeniable, observing God's power and might in what He does through His people and for His people. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Exodus next time, but you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series, plus much more, at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. You can also download the Way Media app to access teachings as they're available. Before we close, we want you to know that if you live in the Knoxville area, you're invited to join Pastor Mark in the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community. And through this radio outreach, there's always a seat for you. Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15. We also meet on Sunday nights at 6 or Wednesday nights at 7. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. To find more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of thewaymedia.net for a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Exodus, so be sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.